You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. How's everyone today?
Good.
Yeah, welcome to our, this is almost last show in September. Next week is the Jewish holiday of Rosh Hashanah. Or next week, but we'll be on the air next Friday. But week after, we're going to be at Yom Kippur. We won't be on.
Right.
We're going to do our, we'll do a show up before, which will go on at 8 o'clock. I don't understand these time things, holidays. But we did one last year. When you do a holiday show like Rosh Hashanah, I got people that were telling me they haven't celebrated a holiday for 20 years. And I had women talked about their fathers. And I have Islamic women tell me they never heard of it. So you get different things. And I had an Italian lady called me from New Jersey and said, so you have pasta on this holiday? That was the funniest. And we've been going on, we'll be 9 years on LA Talk Radio. I'm telling you. You see me at UPAR meetings.
Yes.
Or DuPars.
DuPars.
And she met Jose Escamilla. Yes. He's recovering right now. Jose is, I wanted to give an update to everyone. Jose had, I understand he had heart, but also with kidneys they're looking, because he likes a, and you can't do it in your diabetic. It doesn't work.
No.
Does not work at all. Oh. So what I do, because I'm diabetic too, I can't drink. Can't have fun, but I have fun anyway. Because you can't drink. But anyway, we got some nice people today. So let's do this. We're going to go around the room. You like that? Like the old, like the old Bob Newhart show. We're going to go around the room. We're going to find out about you. Okay, first, we go to the beautiful lady there. So tell us, her. She's got a brand new book. Is this a brand new book?
Yes, called
A Good Case. Mm-hmm. Boy, do I know cases. Cynthia W. Hammer. I love that. Hammer time. Do, 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 do. Do, do, do. And now you're coming out with your book is out. Is it out right now?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't get a copy. Oh, yeah.
This
get a
is
copy?
Yours. This
oh,
is yours. Okay. Of course.
It's a. Let me describe this for the people out in San Francisco. We got BBS Live. We're in San Francisco, so we're all over the place. LA, of course. Cynthia W. Hammer weaves a powerful tale of several families who have had senior relatives in need of care. In fact, it was relevant this week what happened in Florida with the hurricane.
Oh,
all those elderly people that died.
Yes.
And you know what the policeman said? So, I'd love to have him. I wonder what lawsuit he'll be part of.
Hmm.
But he says, you know, they had all these people co-opted in a, it looked like a prison.
Mm-hmm.
It really did. And these older people, you know, they're all dementia.
Oh.
Out there, Alzheimer's, and they put them in a room together, and it was sweating because you know
the
humidity.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever been through Florida,
yes.
You get humidity,
mm-hmm.
big insects, and welcome back to California. You take the plane back to California, but anyway, that's what happens. Horrible.
No.
So anyway, this news came up this week,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to be. We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
And what your feelings are.
Okay.
And then it says. After being in the caregiving business, which is not an easy business. I have it with my mom,
mm-hmm.
where a woman says to me, could I take your mom's car? I go, what? Why would you want to take my car? She's a Filipino lady.
Mm-hmm.
Thought the car came with the
right.
with the job.
Right.
So I said, no,
right.
No, don't. The
yes.
car don't come with the job. And then she says to me, so does she have any clothes? I go, what? It was kind of weird. So we got rid of her
right.
quick. And then, now, you're from Philadelphia?
Well, the story journeys from Philadelphia into Los Angeles.
Okay.
I'm originally from Maryland.
Maryland.
Yes. And a good case is what an agency tells you when no one will take the case.
Right.
When they cannot fill the ship, they
right.
say, it's a good case. And so I write about the home care industry because there's a lot of different... levels, a lot of components to the home care industry. And I just pulled the curtain back because I was a caregiver about 10 years ago, and I thought, well, there's a story here. And you mentioned a situation,
yeah.
but there's so many. But in this novel, I answer all of the questions.
Wow. Yeah. Where were you? My mom. I should have hired her before I hired the lady. And you know what the lady said to me? I'm bonded. I go, what?
It means nothing.
James Bond? What do you mean? So we find out she wasn't bonded. So you find out all of a sudden.
Yes.
Anyway, we got to buy this book. And what was the biggest mystery behind home care? What is the biggest mystery that people don't know?
Well, the biggest mystery is there's two things. One of it is a cash machine.
Yeah.
And people stop using their instincts. If something doesn't feel right, you just don't hire people.
Right.
If it doesn't feel right, then just don't do it. And so people are shocked that it costs too much money, for one, but it's so rigged. It's so set up that you really have to prepare yourself early on.
Now, let me ask you a question. They come with great... The Filipinas, they go to education. St. Adolphia. You hear these names. It sounds like a pasta thing in San Francisco. You never, these schools, they make up as they come. You ask, you say, so where's your accreditation? They didn't give me it. I go, what?
No.
So you get a lot of...
You do.
I dealt with the Filipino, and I had wonderful care because I had a back surgery. I have nothing bad to say because I had really good care.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing they try to steal, but they all steal.
No, but that's...
I'm kidding.
But
I'm
we
kidding.
Don't. But you don't settle for that. I get it. People laugh it off, but that's still wrong. We're settling, and we're in a society. Yeah. We talk about that, where we're starting to do that. We don't have to. And so word of mouth, a reference is always the best. I worked with a caregiver who couldn't make a grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh, wonderful.
Exactly. So what it comes down to is it's just the same thing. You can go to school and learn how to, pass the test, but can you put it together? Can you actually... That's what's missing in the industry.
Right.
We can check off the right answers, but do you know how to get Mr. So-and-so out of bed and dressed?
Right.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying is absolutely right. And what you find with, because I go on the road and I interview folks, what I find is when you go to senior care... is that people are frightened.
Yeah.
A lot of them are frightened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's take that away, that frightened feeling with a lot of these folks. Why is that? Now, why is this happening in the senior care industry where the people are frightened of the other people?
Well,
the caretaker.
Because let's just say 1 out of 30. So you're always going to, like human beings, people, you're going to find 1 out of 30. You have to really shift through and get a good person. Most good caregivers are working, but we're out here. And so what happens, family panic. There's all kinds of reasons you panic. You're in Australia, your mother's in England, or you're in the United States and you're Florida and your mother's in New York. So sometimes you panic. Sometimes your life doesn't require you to stop what you're doing and go help your senior parent.
Right.
And that's where when you're vulnerable. And when you're vulnerable, like anything in life, you'll make a bad decision. I would be very cautious when it comes to taking care of a senior parent, to take time out and actually find a private person, a relative, a neighbor. I wouldn't suggest an agency. I'm not a fan of the agency.
I agree with you 100%.
Okay, so
I agree with you 100%
so you or do it yourself, but it's one of those things in life where you just have to really pay attention and make a healthy decision, and some people don't get along with their parents, so you don't care who takes care of them,
true.
But you have to have a conscience. You have to have a conscience, and we have to be, and also if you don't want to do it, then find a loving person that will, and let them be an extension of your arm. People feel guilty. Oh, I can't be there. Well, find someone who can and don't feel guilted about you not being there. So in a good case, what I did was I went inside and told a lovely story of, you laugh, you cry. It's a little mystery, a little adventure of how the caregiver, the agency, and the senior lives intertwine. It's very...
It's like a Nancy Drew novel.
Yeah, it's really it's a page-turner. I must say, it's a page-turner. But it answers all the questions, but instead of being a self-help, because I don't like self-help. I think if you're not helped by now, so I prefer to read a story. If I write, I want to read a story. So I wrote all the answers in a novel.
Well, what you're saying, I understand, because I'm going through it right now and seeing... The many people my mother would, what happened was, you never name another child to head it, and when she's got a business to run.
Okay.
And my sister has a business to run, and she don't care because her husband would rather she be in a dungeon with her business than care about my mom. So there's a lot of things that come up with the issues of time management and my mom's situation where she don't want to eat.
Okay.
That's what we're going through right now.
Uh-huh.
Don't eat. You don't want to eat. I don't want to eat. I'm full. My mom just say, one toast. She, how could you be full on one toast? But it just, that's what's coming out now with my mom. It's more of her adventure right now. It's, and she's kind of rebellious, too, because my mom will walk away out the front door.
Well,
I've had that adventure, too.
Depending on her age and,
yeah,
and her...
87.
And her mental health, or like, is her mind still with her?
Her mind is so-so, because what she could do, like I was, you know, with her, and the coffee pot, you know, the you know, you don't keep the coffee pot on forever.
Right.
So I was smoke, it smelled smoky. I go, what's going on here? A lot of smoke. Guess what happened? The coffee pot was going on fire, and my mom didn't know what happened, so she was crying. I go, what did you do? So I, you know, I cleaned in whatever, everything was fine. But even adventures like that, adventures of, you know, the girl now that she has, wants her to go outside. And she's not, you know, I don't think she's able to go outside.
Well, that's a, that audio, I haven't met your mom, but on a on an educated guess, we have to, well, first of all, senior, if they're in their full mind and they're physically capable, we don't want to start treating them like babies.
Right.
You know, a person, they're just older.
Right.
They didn't lose their, they're not dumb, they're just older. And so we want to give them the respect of allowing them to stay in their home for as long as they can. That's very important.
Oh,
no one wants
you
to be snatched out of their home after being there for 40 years. You always have the family member. I have six. Well, I'm one of six, and there's always, there's just two of us that are the go-to for my parents. There's always that one brother and sister that's not going to do a damn thing, but they didn't do a damn thing all their life when it came to your parents. So why is it shocking now? So I write about that as well. So the reality is you do the best you can with your mom. If you want to show up for her, show up for her and let them do whatever they want to do, whatever they consider help, I'm not and try to give her the best quality of the life that she has left. You know, whether it's having her healthy meals or keeping her house clean or just showing up and spending time with her.
Right. Well, what you're saying makes a lot of sense because, you know, we my mom has a combo, a caretaker and a housekeeper in one. But the housekeeper mine looks for more money because she says to me, I want $250. That's the first thing that comes out of her mind. And I go, are you, and I see her not taking care very well. And she, you know, my mom's on a nebulizer.
Yes, yes.
And I know that's a whole thing where they, you know, they get money on. But it's a whole thing where you see a lot of these nurses that come in. What they'll do is they'll say, especially the gals she had before, you better sit in that seat. You better not leave that seat. Like she's under a concentration camp, which is bad stuff.
No, and that's just stupid. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Going to be
tell
my favorite
it.
Word. But no, see, the thing is, I think that certain people are mature. Certain people, caregiving is a sacrifice.
Right.
Certain people have it and certain people don't.
Right.
And so it's nothing that you can be taught. It's human kindness. It's just the simplicity of, you know, how I want to be treated. You know, you still have to ask a person, could you please be there when I get back? And if she gets up, it's not the end of the world, as long as she's getting up safe.
Right.
You know, so it's really a common sense, and a lot of people don't have it. A lot of caregivers do not have common sense. You're talking 20%. I've known some great caregivers, and I've known some horrible. It's like, why would you? You don't even do that in your own house, or maybe you do. But this is your work. You're on a job. Why are you on your cell phone? Why is your boyfriend here?
Yeah, you know, exactly. Or you know the best one. You know the best was. You know the best was during holiday season. You know her friend needed a place to stay.
Wanted
to have him stay with all this stuff going on. And I just thought it was kind of. You know, the whole thing, I'm not used to that.
Yeah.
And I never get used to that. It just was strange. But anyway, Your book is out. How can people buy it?
Okay, so it's available in a few bookstores. The Open Book. I have an event coming up October 7th at the Open Book in Thousand Oaks Mall.
Oh, I know that place.
And then I'm doing an author signing for the Hurricane Relief at the State Building in Van Nuys September 30th from 5 to 8. And it's available in Arthur House, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you know, online.
B. Dalton.
Say it again.
B. Dalton.
Probably so. Whatever that is.
B. Dalton is all over now.
Okay.
They're all gone. We'll get to your thought. I got a call from Austin, Texas. So, Bernadette, my good friend Bernadette's calling us from Austin. She does work with a lot of different people. She's a life coach. So, we kind of contacted through Contact of the Desert.
Oh, okay.
And also because I do BBS, she's referred to me. Which is good. So Bernadette, please call back. Anyway, we're going to go around the room with that because of time constraints. I want to talk wonderful lady I met at the UPARS event.
Yes.
And she was sitting, and what they do, UPARS is, they're a meeting place for different people of the UFO realm. And we did have one guy who fell asleep during his own lecture. So I said, wonderful. What? I'll pay $10. For that.
Exactly.
And then we had one, you know, give you an idea about what it is. And then the organizer, I was bringing pizza. See, you missed my pizza.
I did, yes.
I brought pizza there. And I'll tell you, we drew Rua. Here, I'll get Bernadette real quick. Bernadette, good evening from Boston. How are you?
Well, good. Great. How are you, Cameron?
I love your voice. Good. We have wonderful experts on tonight. We got a lady that... I met actually at UPARS as an expert on UFOs. We got a gentleman who has a play, and we got a lady that wrote about the care facilities and also, you know, taking care of a parent, you know, going through, you know, the older years. So anyway, what's going on with you? I haven't heard from you in a while. What's happening?
Oh my gosh, so much is going on. Well, you know, with the whole energy shift going on with the eclipse, and then we have what's going on with Nibiru, Planet X. Not sure if you guys are familiar with all that.
No, I don't know what Nibiru is. To me, it could be a Subaru, not a Nibiru. So tell us about what Nibiru is. What a Nibiru.
Yeah, that's a big thing in the UFO community right now.
Nibiru?
Yeah.
I haven't heard. I haven't been going to the UPAR meetings. I don't even know. Because I've been out of town. So tell us what you just said. What does it mean? So people out there, our audience, we got to tell them what's happening because we don't want to bore them.
No.
They'll say, next channel, you know. But so tell us
right?
Soon we're going to be in Texas.
There's a lot of energy stuff going on. I don't know if you guys are feeling it. I'm sure that you are.
Most assuredly.
Lots of anxiety, a lot of shifts, a lot of strange things happening.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time in Tennessee here not too long ago. We did some work down there, did some energy work with some of the people, and actually found a really great retreat center to start our retreats down there. So exciting about that. And getting in alignment, helping people to make this shift, this planetary shift of energy that's going on.
Okay.
Helping people to release their stress and their anxiety and recenter, you know. Everybody is going to ascend, right? It's all energy is the ascension process. We're all on it.
Yeah.
It's just where are we in the process? Are you guys familiar with the ascension process at all?
Where are we going? Yes, I'm familiar with. So now tell us.
Okay.
Tell us now. You've been with. I know in Texas didn't they have the rains there, thunderstorms,
yeah.
And they had the hurricanes and all that.
I missed all of that because I was in Tennessee.
You're in Tennessee, so you hit out. Yeah, you were talking about the energy shift. I think the country's going through a shift with leadership, and then we have a president. We don't know what he does. We don't know where he's at. We don't, you know.
He's an energy shift all himself, but we won't even go there.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm going to be going there.
Yeah, well, she's going to talk about. One of my friends could talk about Donald J. Trump. You know, I met his daughter. I was going on a plane. I met her. Very nice, by the way. So anyway, why is the shift? You know, you're talking about the energy pull. I've noticed with people in the market acting strange, like buying stuff. Like a guy threw something in his car. I thought it was like a bomb. Throws it in the car. Is that because of the energy alignment, is what you're talking about?
Yes, it really is. I mean, it's really shaking up a lot of people, especially if they don't understand what is going on. I mean, the eclipse was powerful in itself.
Right, right.
You know, we haven't experienced anything like that in some time, in several years. And that's so true. The energy shift that just was associated with that alone was quite intense. And so when you throw in the planetary alignments, of course, you can see it in the weather, too. You know, how many hurricanes we have mm-hmm. coming right now, the tsunamis that are going on, the earthquakes. I mean, it's crazy. But it's all part of this energy shift. And people don't understand it, but they're going to experience it. They're going to feel things that they haven't necessarily felt before that doesn't make sense. A lot of times it can come across almost as if they're like flu symptoms. They're like body aches, a little bit of nausea, headaches, you know, sore eyes, bones, the whole thing. It's all a part of the shift. When you integrate in energy, and energy does change. Of course, we know how powerful energy is, because just even with our own thought process, every thought is energy, right?
Right. That is true.
Huge. It's such a huge topic, but we're gonna.
I know it's a big topic. We're a national show, so you can tell my listeners all about it. I was just gonna tell around the room here. Let's go around the room. Have you felt the shift?
You know, I'm gonna tell you. Yes, I have felt the shift. And I wasn't aware of it until she started talking about it. Anthony Grappuzzo.
Anthony Grappuzzo. Okay.
And just now listening to it, I'm aware of all of those things being present in my life.
Really?
So I guess I have felt the energy shift.
And now you're going to be doing a show, and you know L.A.'s strange anyway. So you're going to be doing a show here. He's doing a play, by the way. You're going to be going to Austin or Dallas soon?
Not anytime soon, to my knowledge. I'd have to look at my schedule. I'm pretty
That's
sure
where she is.
She's going to come out here.
We're going to see you out here, not Dallas
anytime soon or Austin. Yeah, I'm doing my show. It's my fourth time coming back to LA with this show.
Yeah, so you were here before.
I was here a couple of weeks ago, and they said, "Hey, do you want to do it again? We got people calling, and I can do it on free the month of October."
You did it. You did a special benefit.
I did it as a benefit, and they said we'd like to have you here the entire month.
That's wonderful.
So I'll be doing Sundays during October at the theater.
Yeah. So he's got a wonderful play now. Contestant number two. I feel like the dating game. Contestant number two. Now tell us about yourself.
Well, my name is Cassandra.
Cassandra. Okay.
And I'm basically a mystic as well as a member of the Coalition. The Coalition is a covert umbrella organization for extraterrestrials, contemporary humans, and humans from the future who are all working together. And I kind of came out from the space alien closet to start asking around, finding out how people were doing, what was happening, and also letting them know about certain other things that have been going on, as well as we're planning to do what I like to call the make-believe first encounter, because they've been here all this time anyway, you know, so
well,
I just like to make-believe. So we're trying to schedule another one for in 2 years' time, because the ones that we have had, have kind of blown up in our faces.
What happened?
Oh, well, Benghazi was one. And the thing you have to understand is that the extraterrestrials and with the Coalition have interdimensional surveillance devices in every major world leader's office as well as their homes.
Wow.
And so they know what's going on. And once that Benghazi thing happened, they knew what was happening in the White House. They knew who was doing what, who was like off having a good time while this was all going down. So they canceled the 2012 one that we had scheduled. There's a lot of stuff going on that it's just very strange and amazing.
Have you been feeling the shift too?
Well, yeah. The eclipse was, in fact, I was outside on the balcony about 9 o'clock that morning, just as the eclipse was starting. And the radiation levels, you know, from a bombardment from deep space that got blocked, normally is blocked by the sun, was like coming through. And so that's been really intense, followed up by this last full moon. But the thing that most people don't understand is that there is an energy hotspot, just like there's hotspots that create volcanoes and they move around the planet, like the Hawaiian Islands and the ones in the left. Well, there's an energy hotspot, and it has left the United States. It just within this last month, the last of the energy on that dropped out. But it was, unless you're really tuned into energy, you wouldn't have felt it because of the energy from the eclipse and the energy going into solstice and the full moon. That's last full moon. I was like a basket case. I couldn't remember things. Everywhere I went, I was always forgetting one thing, you know. But it shifted. It's shifted over, and it's been shifted. A lot of it's been there for a while in Asia. So it's going now. It's like gone out of the United States. That's why we had the big building boom downtown. Was the last, it was kind of like I was saying to people, was the crack of the whip.
Right.
That last little bit that just sparked everything here on the West Coast. So now it's a really important time for the people in the United States because we really need to take personal responsibility for what's going on. And just, I don't see why people can be so nasty and angry when we have it so good here compared to the rest of this planet. Because I've been in other countries, and we are so lucky here.
True.
So people, you need to get off their high horses and just start becoming adults, responsible adults. This cult of the individual clashing with the youth culture in this country has not done us any favors.
No, I don't think it's helped at all.
No.
And also, the youth, I think who suffers from it is a lot of the millennials.
Oh,
they're suffering a lot because I was doing a show for somebody, a friend of mine, and I noticed a lot of the millennials are not having a rough time, a really rough time.
Well, I ran into one at a doctor's office. She was reading Dale Carnegie's How to Make Friends and Influence People.
Yeah.
And I said, I heard you millennials are reading this. She said, yeah, we have to. I said, yeah, because your parents didn't teach you anything. She said, yes, that's right. They haven't taught us anything. We're just like wandering around in this fairyland kind of thing.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, God bless them, the poor things. And they're trying to figure out how to navigate reality. I mean, Cynthia's book alone, just trying to navigate your senior years.
Yeah.
But these kids had nothing given to them.
Yeah, because a lot with the parenting nowadays is so different when I grew up. Mm-hmm. In fact, what was interesting was going...
It's a way different age.
Yeah.
It's a way different age for parenting. And part of the problem is that the millennials are much different than any of their preceding generations.
Exactly.
And, you know, a lot of them, if you're familiar with metaphysics, a lot of them are incarnating with, a lot of older souls, first of all, and with a knowledge of, you know, purpose. And the energy from this incarnation in these kids, it's almost translated like an anxiety, if you follow what I'm saying.
Yes.
Parents are at a loss because they're more guided to the medication side of things. Oh, let's medicate them because it's ADD, ADHD.
Oh,
you know, they need help, and so we'll just dummy them down with this instead of actually working with the child and helping them to understand first what's going on inside of them and second how to channel it properly so that they don't have to be on medication, but they can navigate themselves through what goes on in their everyday while maintaining a balance and a focus. And I have found just in my recent work here within the last few months that I have dealt with several children who have been classified in schools as a certain type. And all I had to do with these children was explain to them first, identify with them, one, and then two, explain what was going on, and then three, give them some techniques to use when they get into situations where they feel overwhelmed or anxious or any of those other things. And can I tell you that I have had 100% success rate so far.
Exactly.
That's phenomenal. No, that's great.
No, I taught elementary school. She's telling the truth.
Yeah. If we go into the school system a little bit, you know, when we were growing up, I wrote a book called Iceberg, and it's heavily based on bullying. And there was a time where parents didn't interject so much in a child's fear or their anxiety. You know, you kind of let life work things out. That's called growth. And you, you allow a kid to have healthy experiences. You know, you can't, you know, you scrape your knee, you get up, you brush yourself off. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with building the muscle that it takes to endure life. We take that from a child, and then we take it from a kid, and then we wonder why they don't, when they go to work, they don't have any skills. They don't want to stay 10 minutes, and they don't feel like doing it.
Right.
Because we coddled them in their tantrum.
Right.
You know,
true.
Instead of just letting it ride. Like, we turned out all right.
Hey,
yeah.
Exactly. I got to tell you.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Right. I got to tell you.
Perspective is everything, though, right?
A part of my show is exactly
that. We think we turned out fine, but ask our kids.
But maybe that's the problem. Let's not ask our kids.
Stop asking
their kids.
Thank you. If I have to see another woman asking her 2-year-old, what do they want to eat?
Would you like me to put you in the car?
My mother put it on the table. You ate it.
Exactly.
It's not like
you want to get in the car
because you didn't want it.
Yeah, right. You check to make sure they don't have an allergy.
This is what my show is about. Honestly, this is what my show is about. People said, younger children tell me that see my show, not younger children, millennials, you know, you were abused. I says, I wasn't abused. This was what my generation was.
Discipline.
My father, discipline. My father was very strict.
Let's keep it real.
My father was very strict. I mean, he wasn't cold. He hugged us. He kissed us, something else. But if I said or did something that displeased him, he'd smack me in the head. You know, bada boom.
Right.
And unbeknownst to him, he wore a large pinky ring on his right hand. And unbeknownst to him, I went through a good part of my life with lumps on this side of my head. But that's also how my father showed his affection. You know, nobody ever saw it. You got the eyes. You knew you were going to get smacked when you got him.
But you knew your father loved you.
I knew my father
loved
me.
See, this is the problem. This is the whole thing that the psychologists don't deal with. Yes, if you hit your child and do not let them know later on, like in 15 minutes, that you love them, that's where the problem comes in. Yeah. The problem comes in not validating the fact that you still love them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the cause of the problem. Not the one whap on the behind and sit down. This babying. Let me tell you, children that are baby, you can see it in the classroom.
Well,
they don't do their work.
But guess what?
They don't want to do their work.
Then it comes back to the parent. Okay, say friends, you discipline your child, and then you feel guilty about it. Then you have the issues. You need some work.
I don't feel
guilty. No, I'm not saying you, but the reason why a lot of parents don't follow through is because they have their own issues they're not working out.
Right.
Right?
Growing up. The cult of the individual colliding with the youth culture in the United States has created this kind of mess.
It is a mess.
In fact, what has happened is, you know, even we went to contact. You can tell me your experience. People, these so-called celebrities, the guys that write books and copy books, I didn't spend a lot of time there because someone who's covered and interviewed people, I found it useless time. In fact, John Michael, who was going with me on it, he liked it because that was his way to get all that gossip stuff. But for me, if I'm not there, I'm better. Because you hear all this crazy stuff. The people don't want to be responsible. And UFO stories that are not real. And it was like crazy. And then
I went to one of the experiencer cafe groups we were supposed to meet, and this one gal who was running it, she was like very control issues. I started saying, has anybody here been healed? Because everybody was like in these very sad kind of trodpon. Mm-hmm. Now, my mother beat me up. I mean, frying pans and bottles. So I know what it means to be, wooden spoons would have been easy. The frying pan and the bottles would hit my head. So I'm like looking at the people, come on. You know, this is what happened. I made lemonade. I got abducted. I had been since a child, but about 26 years ago, I had to make a karmic choice, and I made a decision, and that's what started this abduction thing again. Well, I got into this, and I was like, oh, I'm on board the ship. Oh, okay. I said, excuse me. what are we doing? And then they like froze. You had to see these, this little pink guy in his little lab coat. He freezes, and the man in black is standing in the hallway, doorway. And they said, okay, you know, we're going to take an egg and we're going to fertilize it. I was like, oh, great. Can I watch?
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I got very proactive, and I wanted to be involved with my kids. I was doing, getting involved, creating this. And then the next thing I know, I wind up, well, I got engaged to a man in black, and then he had no sense of humor. It was horrible. That was the problem.
He no personality, man in black.
Man in black, no sense of humor.
Dark humor.
Yeah, he's dark humor. Where's in the movie?
Where's not the movie? Even dark. It was like, whatever. So, but in any case, I wangled my way into a position of respect and, you know, I get some security clearances here into what I know and what I do.
Right.
But it's like, we're Americans. We should be able to get in there and do these things.
Yeah.
And not sit around those people. It was very sad. Yeah. It was very sad.
We need more doctors, more lawyers. We don't need another rapper, another ball player. What?
Right. We don't even need more lawyers. We have too many lawyers.
Okay, well, you know what I'm saying. You know what I mean.
Exactly.
We know why.
We need more adults. We need more adults.
You know what you mentioned?
They all think that, you know, with cell phones and whatever it is, it's pictures and post an Instagram.
Is that going to show so far?
They're going to be, you can become famous by doing this, and that's all they want.
Bernadette, are you still with us?
They don't want to achieve anything. They just want to
be famous. I am enjoying this
program. It is a hollow. This is why they have such crises, because they have no true self-esteem.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
I have seen kids, when they get self-esteem, when they actually accomplish stuff in my classroom, they lit up. Yeah. They lit up.
That's right.
And then that anger or resentment or whatever would dissipate.
Well, what we haven't talked about the education. Well, we're not going to get too heavy in the education, but we're hitting on
that'd
it. So let's go there.
Part two.
Well, can I just touch on it? Because here's the thing. A lot of children with the cell phone and the computer, it's good that they know the computer. But from my understanding, talking to teachers, a lot of them can't write.
Oh my god!
So they've been using the computer to spell their big words, which is like ready. That's not a big word, but they don't know how to spell it.
Oh, sweetie,
and that's scary.
No, you know what's really scary?
They can't even write
the word on a piece of paper.
And so, let me tell you. Oh, you want to hear a scary story?
That is true.
Years ago, I was teaching second grade for a period of time. And those kids could not get out of our second grade class unless they could write a 3-paragraph essay, 3 to 4 sentences in each. Now, these are 7 and 8 year olds. 3 or 4 sentences, opening, body, closing. Mm-hmm. Two administrators came walking in from the district, local district headquarters, and told us to stop doing that, to only make them write 1 paragraph.
Wow.
We all shot each other looks.
Wow.
And freaked out. And afterwards, like, first of all, like, cut our feet, because here we were pushing and doing and had this. And then we started, like, what the heck is this about? 2 LAUSD administrators told us to stop them writing 3 paragraphs in second grade and just write 1. So I don't know what that actually is going on, but it's frightening.
I will tell you, I had some paperwork that my oldest, he's 21, he's going to be 22, needed to sign. Oh, actually, all 3 of my children needed to sign this paperwork.
By the way, Bernadette is with us.
They didn't have...
Okay. I'm right here. I'm listening.
They said, I don't... Can I print mine? They didn't have a signature.
And he
says, I don't even know how to use a pen. He says, I haven't used a pen in so long, it's not funny.
Exactly.
I don't have to do anything. And I remember the nuns with the ruler.
Oh, yes.
And making my circles so they didn't go past the lines and everything.
They're not
else.
Connecting the brain.
Getting
you
good angel and bad angel stamps on my paper and learning my penmanship.
Well, teachers tried to tell us the cursive writing was needed.
It is needed.
Yes. It is needed.
But they shut that computer at, you know, second
grade. Well, the computer
grade,
is a bad thing. It's been a very bad thing for society.
They don't use cursive anymore. Cursive is no longer a part of school over here in Texas. They don't even give it for homework.
They don't give it for homework?
No.
Wow.
I don't know the last time. And he's one of my kids brought home homework.
22.
Really?
The first class they stopped cursive.
Yeah, it's been a minute. But the education system here, I mean, that, like Cameron said, that's like a whole nother show. The education system is just really sad. And at the end of the day, we wonder about our children's self-esteem, and it is multifaceted for them. Because you know, they really do on many levels get gypped, not being able to use a pen or not being able to complete a sentence. I mean, that does on some level affect their self-esteem. It affects their self-concept.
And their motivation.
What are we thinking is going to happen as our educational system continues to decline? It's only logical. All of the other things that go along with education that make you feel good, that make you feel intelligent, make you feel like you can contribute to society and be productive.
Self-gratifying.
I mean, all of those things are lessened. And if that's the case, well, then it is logical to conclude that also the self-esteem and the self-concept of our younger generation is also going to suffer. It's really a shame because these kids are really, really intelligent. They're wonderful. They're unique. They have so many amazing gifts and abilities that if they were just able to tap in and apply them. But there is such a spectrum in all of the different levels of society. There is such a spectrum that, you know, it's very difficult for these children to get what they need to be the productive members of society that we would like to see and that we have eventually become.
Okay, and it's only going to get worse because the universities are dropping their standards because they can't get intelligent people who want to teach because they are getting burnt to a crisp in the charter schools and in the public schools, and the universities are dropping their standards. I think there was recently here in California.
Cal State University.
Yeah, no algebra. You can get
remedial math or English.
Or English. You can just get into school.
You can just get into school. Just get racquetball. Can't do 2 plus 2, and you can go to college.
That's crazy. So there's the truth again about the good old-fashioned common sense. Okay, so how can a child connect to a piece of steel? But if you want to calm yourself, writing, as we know, learning, the brain, humanness, is very soothing. It's very spiritual. So it's almost like we have the ability to heal ourselves. But we've looked to something that has no heartbeat.
Yes.
To do it.
So you know
there's not going to be a connection eventually, right?
My son just had a paper. He said he worked 6 hours on the paper, and he failed it. The reason he failed it wasn't because of the paper. It was because the sources that he used were not considered legitimate sources.
Okay?
And he didn't know there's a difference.
What grade?
He's in college. He's a junior. He said it's the first time. Sophomore. He's a sophomore. It's the first time he said I was ever told these are not legitimate sources and you have to look for a certain marking. And it had nothing. He said I really thought I had an A paper here and it's an F because it was not. It was the computer source was not considered a legitimate computer source. I said, "What'd you use? Wikipedia? What'd you use?" He says, "No, I literally researched this." He says, and that was how the paper was graded by whether or not the professor thought the sources were legitimate.
Wow. Professors,
that's terrible.
A lot of them are.
They have
it's terrible.
Wow, the criteria should have been outlined prior to the paper.
Apparently, my son says the teacher said it was, but he did not registered that. Okay.
Right.
So he worked his heart out to get an F. And he says it wasn't just me, Dad. He said there were about 30 kids waiting to talk to the professor after the class that was unhappy with their grades.
Obviously,
that's horrible. That shows what you're saying, Cassandra.
The system
is a mess.
It's a mess.
And if you have that where, for example, Anthony's son is getting cited for, you know, he's doing a good job on his paper, and they're telling him they don't exist or they're not within the system,
right?
You know the system is bad, and you know who else lowered their thing? University of California, they did too. They're doing it. These schools,
they're doing it.
They're all dropping it.
I don't get it because enough kids are not graduating with basic math and English skills, so they're dropping that as the requirement. You know. My children had to have met. I think I don't know if it was 3 years, 4 years. They all had pre-calc, calculus. You know, they had every math at the school because that's what it was said. You need to get into college, and one of them wanted to be an engineer, so he had to take all the math and everything else. But it was a small percentage of the kids in the school that were in those classes. The rest of them could take anything they wanted to get enough credited hours to graduate.
Right.
So it's back to the beginning of our subject.
Yeah.
How are you going to put it together? You're passing the test, but how are you planning on putting it together?
That's exactly.
No, not, yeah,
anyway,
not.
You show up for work, but you don't know how to do the job.
Anyway, exactly. In the time frame that we have, just talk about the play real quick.
Okay,
you know,
anyway, it's called The Face Behind the Face Behind the Face. You can get tickets at www.theatre.org, or you can make reservations at 323-851-7977. It is at Theater West, which I believe is technically Universal City or Hollywood. It's
Universal
right there on
City.
The border. Universal City.
Nice restaurants. Down
there's a great restaurant, Mercado's. Wonderful place. Restaurant. You know, so we'll be doing that. Next weekend, we're doing Sugar for Musical Theater Guild at the Alex Theater, so that's another thing you can come and see me in.
Oh, where are you
like
going to be in that one?
I am playing Hood Number 1.
Hood Number 1? What time?
Sugar is at 7 p.m. on the Sunday evening, the 25th at the Alex Theater, but I don't have that information with me.
Next
but I did hear today that Robert
them.
Morris, who was in the original Broadway production of Sugar, will be there that night.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, anyway, what I wanted to mention,
awesome.
Burnett, you'll come on next week because we're gonna talk about quantum theory.
Oh,
we have an expert on.
Oh, I love it. Yeah,
we have an
awesome.
Expert on. Anyway, what I was going to mention is a good case, buy the book.
Amazon.com, arthurhouse.com.
And, you know, have you got your reviews on it?
Yes, I have had quite a few write-ups in the paper.
I bet you're a very good one.
Yes, and it's a page turner, and a lot of nurses in the industry have been very happy that their story that they're being heard.
Mm-hmm.
Finally.
Now tell us. We're going to go more. We'll get into the UFO stuff a little bit.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention real quick. I had some sad news this week. You know when you go to get your car fixed?
Yeah.
At a place. Well, the father died. He was 81. And I wanted to mention, Bud Jackson died. I didn't even know he died till now, because it wasn't known in the community. But I want to send my sympathy out to the community, Dave Jackson, Sister Tracy, and the father was, I always see him smiling, and said, where do you want to go? And the dad was, they're like the old Mompa auto shops. So we're going to do a show about him, where we're going to get the customers to call.
Oh, how fun.
Nice. Talk about the man's life through the customer. So I know Dave's listening. I know Tracy's listening. What we're going to do is when things kind of soften up, we're going to do a show on them. And then I'm going to get the Howard Stern had him on, the posse. We're going to have them all come here. We're working with a clown posse. It's a whole story on that. The clown posse. They're now known as a gang. They're not a gang. They're a crazy bunch of people. But they're not a gang. So the FBI turned them now a gang. We're going to have them on.
Are these ones that were in Texas?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about
them.
Yeah, I've heard about them.
But I want to have them on because they have their side of the story, and they're in Washington, I know, marching tomorrow about not being a gang member. And also what I was going to mention, another thing, we'll be back next week will be the Rosh Hashanah, New Year's. And then Yom Kippur, we're deciding
Day
what's going to happen. This year we won't have our live Yom Kippur show, but we're going to do something better. We're going to have a 7 p.m. show we're going to do a show earlier, and we'll talk about Yom Kippur. We'll talk about people dealing with the holiday, all walks of life. And I'm going to have an imam come on. I'm going to have a clergy and what they felt. So it's good to get I tried to get everybody. You know, there's more than life. What do they say? News, weather, and sports.
Yeah.
Right? So anyway, one other thing. What I was mentioning that you want to talk about the UFO. We got a little time, and then Bernadette, are you okay over there? And
I am.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So tell us a little about your experience going out with a UFO with Men in Black.
Well, he's a man.
He's a man.
He's a man. Let me tell you something. He used to count the time he would hover over my apartment building in his black unmarked helicopter as a date.
Okay.
This is serious.
A hovering, hovering love.
Hi, honey. You know, he'd fly over. I'd be in the jacuzzi, and he'd come out of the ship. I would like look up at the sky thinking something's weird about this patch of sky. And then all of a sudden this helicopter would come out as if like behind a curtain, of sky, and it blew over. I said to my girlfriend, we were sitting in the jacuzzi in my apartment building in downtown LA. I said, "Oh, here he comes." Now, as he's coming over, we could see him. I said, "Let's wave. Hello, darling. Hello." And he's counting this as a date.
Love But you know what? You say that? I had connecting with UFO. I had an interesting situation happen to me going to contact in the desert. When we stayed over at night. We saw, did you see the things at night that happened?
No.
There was a ship overhead, and what happened was people were getting dizzy.
Well, the energy was so crazy. Yeah.
Because you know what it was? The lady that organized it, and this is my big problem about going. Yeah. I don't like going there, I'll be honest. Well, next time you go with me to MUFON. It's in Philadelphia next year. I'm going to go to Philly next year. But anyway, they got the MUFON thing. But we're doing the smaller events. We're going to go to Roswell.
Okay.
This year we're going to go to Roswell. Mm. And then my group, I was going to tell everyone, we're going to do a live show in San Diego coming soon. San Diego, California. Nice. Kathleen's out there. She's going to get us with a bar. We're going to do a live show. Mm-hmm. From one of the hotels, casinos. So maybe we'll make money and...
Or the casino will make money.
Send money
to me, send money. Anyway, thank you very much, Brenda. I know it's late where you are. It's about, 10:51 where you are?
Thank you so much, Cameron. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, because I'm
looking forward to talking to you guys.
My pleasure. Well, you missed me. Sounds like you missed my show. No, I'm just kidding.
I miss you so much. Are you kidding me? I haven't connected with that man in such a minute. So
yeah, I'm glad you came on.
Let's make it happen. I'm so happy that we did.
Next week, we're going to have on my friend Ken Pfeiffer, who talks about UFO sightings.
Okay.
He's going to come on next week.
Yeah, well.
He was stuck, with, in New Jersey. He was stuck. On a sighting thing, but he'll come back next week. Thank you so much. Say goodbye. We're saying goodbye.
Bye.
To Bernadette.
Bye, Bernadette.
Have a great night, guys.
Bye.
My show is a musical. There's 19 songs in it.
That's all?
That's it? Only 19.
Yeah, let me just shut this off so we're on there. Anyway, with the remaining moments, now, did he left your life, this guy? He never came back.
Yeah, I know. We finally, it was like I had to break it off. I said, "This is it. Enough is enough.
It's too crazy.
Unless you're going to be like coming and spending the weekend with me, I can't." You know, he would disappear for months at a time. One time, I tracked him down. I was like, "What are you doing in Southeast Asia?" He's like, "Well, just collecting, DNA of plant and animal species." Does the local government know you're there? No. So, but after a while, it was just much too much.
He's the guy that puts the, I get the sores in my skin.
No.
And they do the surgery?
No, he doesn't do the
surgery. I had the surgery. They come in.
Oh, no. Well, I've had, they actually gave me some treatments for my arthritis in my hips.
Really?
It was
great.
Did it help? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they've given
me. UFO people, come over here for my back.
They gave me a biomechanical implant that showed up on my x-ray when I went for my bronchitis.
They saw it? Wow.
Yeah, you could see just the little line of it. And that's to keep me from having strokes because we have it on both sides of the family. Now, they've been very good because, you know what? I know how to pick my battles. I go in, I do, I keep my mouth shut. And if I really have something to say, then I do have something to say. And so then they listen to me.
Wait, that thought, you'll come back. Are you going to come back? We'll have you back here.
Yeah, because we haven't talked about Donald Trump.
I know, we want to talk about Donald Trump.
And he's got a child on board one of the big black rectangular ship. So I'd like to tell you all about that and why he's alive and how the extraterrestrials actually got out the vote for him, people.
They were behind the real. They were the real Russians.
Yeah, exactly.
And Hillary... book is going out forever. I'm not going to buy her book. But
no.
And then the one other thing, the reporter from ESPN, Janelle, you know what you got to do? Instead of telling people that they're white supremacists, forget, because radio is a temporary job. Because if you do it, you're not going to get work.
Right.
Don't do it. Keep your job. Anyway, we want to thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good luck with your play. You'll come back.
Yes,
I'll be
thank
back.
You.
You got to come thank back next week. You can.
Okay.
Come back next week. And then we're going to find out more about your book. So anyway, thank you, everyone. Good night from Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
LA.
LA,
man.
LA Talk Radio.
Thank you very much. Woo! Yeah, we're going to be live. We were live in San Francisco.
You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker.